Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This week, I found myself reflecting on just how it is that we read Scripture. I hope that we all read Scripture on a regular basis, but how do we approach the text? As I looked at today's gospel, I realized that often when I read the Bible, I'm looking for the punchline, the point, the principle being taught, and fail to look at the details of the text. Today's gospel is the well-known story of Jesus calming the storm. And so we pigeonhole the story. It's a miracle story. It proves that Jesus has power over nature. It says that with Jesus in the boat, we don't need to be afraid. Amen. Shortest sermon in the world. But let's look at the text. Let's really look at the text. Sometimes, to get the context, we need to backtrack a little. That's the problem with these lectionary pericopes that often just plop us in the middle of a story. In this case, we need to go back to the beginning of the chapter to see that Jesus was teaching by the Sea of Galilee, we can assume, and that the crowd was so large that Jesus got into a boat, pushed off from shore a little ways, and spoke to the people on the shore, creating a kind of natural amphitheater so that his voice could be heard by the whole crowd. And he was teaching in parables, as was his norm. It was a long day of teaching. Mark records 5 parables. Who knows, there may have been more. And when it was evening, Jesus told his disciples that he wanted to go over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Oh, he wanted to go on a boat trip. A nice, relaxing way to spend the evening when you've worked hard all day. Such an innocuous statement. Let's go to the other side. And unless you pull out your collection of biblical maps, you are not going to know that the other side of the Sea of Galilee was the non-Jewish side. Even this early in his ministry, Jesus intended that the message be heard by Jews and non-Jews alike. That must have startled his disciples, who were all Jewish. That kind of cross-cultural mission was just not what they were used to. But they had already figured out that following Jesus means obeying Jesus. So they pushed away from the shore and headed to the other side, leaving the crowd behind, the text says. At the clergy day on Thursday, we used this text as we practiced gospel-based discipleship. And I found myself somehow captivated by the line, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. What on earth does Mark mean, just as he was? Well, they obviously didn't go home to get any luggage or anything. How was Jesus? We can infer from the text that Jesus was tired, maybe even exhausted, tired from the day of teaching, and the next thing we know, he's fast asleep on a cushion in the boat. Jesus and the disciples left the crowds behind, we are told. Maybe they just wanted a little downtime. Or maybe Jesus was intent on getting to the other side of the sea so that the message could be proclaimed there as well. But I found myself imagining a scene where the disciples pushed the boat away from the shore. And in that instant, when people realize that Jesus is leaving them, there's a mad scramble to get to their boats and to give chase. Jesus might have been tired and finished teaching for the day, but the crowds were not finished with Jesus. So captivated were they by his teaching that instead of simply going home to think about it, they got into their boats to follow. They wanted more. There was a hunger and a thirst for everything that Jesus was teaching. And I found myself wondering, in this day and age, when Jesus' words in the Bible are available everywhere, including on multiple apps on our phones, what is our level of hunger and thirst for the Word of God? Is it enough that we would scramble to do anything to hear more of that word? It turned out to be anything but a calm sailing day. When I used to go out in the boat at my parents' cottage, the first thing that I would do is check the sky. And if there were any signs of a brewing storm, I would stay at home. You see, I was rowing, and the last thing that I wanted was to be caught in a downpour just at that moment when I was at the opposite end of the lake. We don't know what the conditions were when they started out, and I'm not even sure that that was an issue for them. They just wanted to follow Jesus. All these people in the other boats that followed the boat that Jesus was in. But a storm did arise, a great windstorm, we are told, creating waves that started battering the boat, and high enough that the water was threatening to swamp the boat. When I sailed on what is called the Jesus boat on the Sea of Galilee, that's a boat that was built to replicate the kind of boat that Jesus might have been in, they told us that despite the peaceful scene around us, that storms were common on the Sea of Galilee, and that they could come up suddenly, virtually without warning, which is what must have happened on that day, when all of a sudden the wind and the waves are threatening to swamp the boat. And Jesus was peacefully sleeping on a cushion in the stern of the boat. What a contrast to the disciples, who were obviously panicking. One can imagine their frantic efforts to bail the water out faster than it was coming in. This is the point where we can begin to think of the storm as a metaphor for our lives. I don't know about you, but I think we all like calm sailing, for things to unfold just exactly the way that we think they should. We also all know that it just doesn't work out that way. From time to time, various kinds of crises emerge, threatening to overwhelm our emotional equilibrium. And the question becomes, how do we react in the middle of a crisis? I don't know about you, but I tend to panic. I really admire those people who just seem to be able to take everything in stride, to remain what psychologists call a non-anxious presence in the midst of the chaos when things are in turmoil. The disciples were battling the wind and the waves and frantically bailing, I think, and probably wondering how it is that Jesus can sleep through it all. Now, I know some people who can sleep through anything. And maybe Jesus was just so fast asleep as to be totally oblivious to the threatening storm. Or maybe, as some commentators suggest, Jesus could sleep peacefully and unafraid because of his utter confidence in God. I know someone who, when things start to look a little stormy, is known to say, "God's got this." And that becomes a basis for peace in the middle of the storm. The disciples were anything but peaceful. The waves were beating into the boat, and we don't know how long the disciples were trying to get things under control, frantically bailing, before they finally approached Jesus. But it made me think about the ways that we sometimes desperately try to keep things under control, only turning to Jesus when it becomes patently obvious that we just can't handle it. There's a story of a sailing ship crossing the ocean in the midst of a gale. A passenger asks the captain, "Is there anything we can do?" The captain replies, "You can pray." As I read this text, it makes me think about the disciples frantically bailing and finally going to Jesus. And it makes me think that maybe I should be praying about things sooner and not just when I realize that I can't fix it. That would be a good principle, I think. When the disciples finally go to Jesus, their panic is obvious. Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? When things are getting a little rough, how easily we go to the same space, wondering if God really cares, if God really can be trusted. It makes me wonder just exactly what were they hoping that Jesus would do? Did they think that one more person bailing the water out would make a difference? Or maybe they just resented the idea that he could be fast asleep in the boat and they're panicking. They hadn't been with Jesus that long. And even though they recognized him as a teacher, I don't think the idea that he could miraculously make the storm go away was even on their radar. But that is what he did. And then he addressed them. Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? Jesus calms the storm, but the other storm that he wants to calm is the storm in their hearts and minds. He is inviting them to a place of trusting confidence, the place where they could begin to look at the storms and say, God's got this. I don't know where each of you are at in your lives today. Maybe it's a day of calm sailing. Or maybe there's a storm on the horizon. Or maybe you're in the midst of a raging storm that is just threatening to swamp your life. But wherever you are at, this text points to several things. First of all, Jesus is in the boat with us. Secondly, Jesus does care. Thirdly, Jesus has the power to address anything that is going on. And finally, Jesus invites us into a place of faith, of trust, of confidence, and peace. Whatever is going on in our lives, we too can say, God's got this, and we can be at peace. Amen.